Okay, so we're on Ayin Beis Amud Aleph, 72a. I'll begin around seven lines from the top. So the Gemara, where it says Parochet, Ayin Beis Amud Aleph, 72a, seven lines from the top. Parochet Esrimi Arba, we said the Parochet, which is the curtain that divides between the Kodesh and the, the Parochet in the Mishkan, is between the Chatzer and the Kodesh. Right. So that's what I assume means here. That was saying in the base of Mikdash though, they had doors there. So you know, maybe one second.
Art scroll says between the Kodesh and Kodesh.
Yeah, right? That's it. Yeah. And the base
that's
of Mikdash,
how we
right.
Think of the
right. That makes sense. In the base of Mikdash, they didn't have a parochet where the Mishkan had it. So like Bern is saying, so it's between Kodesh and the Kodesh Kadashim in the second base of Mikdash. When I'm base of Aleph, seven lines from the top. So the Gemara says, Parochet Esrimi Arba. We said the Parochet had 24 strands. So the Gemara explains, Arba, the Shita Shita. So there were four ingredients. You have, you know, the three types of wool, Techelet, B'Argaman, V'Tulat Shani. You have, you know, the blue wool, the Argaman wool, and the red wool. And then you have Shesh, and you have linen. So it's four ingredients that go into the Parochet. And each one is sixfold, because the Gemara had the drasha yesterday from Sheish. Sheish was a double entendre. Sheish taught me that it's stranded, but it's stranded with six threads. So each one's got six threads. I have four ingredients with six threads, ends up with 24 threads. That's the parochet. So the Gemara says, Lodina below Dayana. In other words, it's absolute, there's no question about that. That's water under the bridge. Choshen the ephod esrimu shmona. The choshen, the breastplate, and the ephod, which is like an apron, which the Kohen Gadol wears, are esrimu shmona, 28 threads. Now we say the choshen is metal, but the metal has like strands that come out from it. So there are 28 threads. So the Gemara asks, let me see. So minalan. So where do we know there's 28 strands with the choshen and the ephod? Dichtiv yasita choshen mishpat maasei choshev. You should make a choshen mishpat, in other words, this breastplate of judgment. An artisan's work. You make it like the ephod. We hear the ingredients: zahav, gold, techelet, yargaman, betulat shani, v'sheish morzar. So I have gold, techelet, yargaman, betulat shani, three types of wool. V'sheish is the linen, morzar. Everything's stranded together. So the Gemara calculates arba'a. The shita. So for the ingredients, which are the three types of wool and the linen, they each have six strands that we've covered before. So that's string the arba. We're up to 24. We're shooting for 28. We're up to 24. Zahav arba. So the gold was also fashioned into like threads of gold that they would use to you know, weave the whole thing together. High stream of tamanya. So sacha kol, we end up with 28. So 24 with, you know, the wool and the linen. And then four with the gold. He says, the Amazab Dami Shisha. The Gemara says, maybe the gold is also six stranded. So the Gemara says, Amar Vachabar Yaakov, Amar Kra, the Kitzet Katilim. So it says in the Pasuk, Vayirakud Pache Zahav, and it says, it says, the Kitzet Katilim, that they beat out the gold and they cut Katilim. They cut like threads, they cut the gold into threads. Petil, petilim. So petil would be one thread. Petilim would be two threads. And then it says, v'kitzeis, that he cut the petilim into threads. So I assume he's saying that they, I don't know, maybe sliced it lengthwise. So the two threads, they sliced lengthwise. Now I have four threads of gold. Arekan arba. Okay? We're on Ayin Beis Amud Aleph 72a, around 15 lines down. Okay? All right. So let me just again. So we're discussing the number of threads in each one of the big day kahuna. So we discussed the parochet had 24 threads, and that was because there were four ingredients, and each ingredient had six strands, so it's 24 threads. And then we're up to the choshen and the ephod, which is 28 strands. So we have everything that the parochet had plus another fourth thread from the gold. Okay. Rav Ashi, and this is around 8
lines. Can I ask a question? Why does the kitzetz mean he's cutting it into two and not to three?
Well, the Gemara assumes, in other words, the Gemara assumes he's got petilim. He's starting off with petilim. He's starting off with two strands. V'kitzeitz, he cuts them. So we assume he cuts them once. And I don't know what to say. Yeah, yeah. But she's saying, how do I know that maybe he's cut more or whatever? We assume. You know, no. In other words, she's saying, I assume Fern is saying, kitzeitz, maybe they cut it, I don't know, into more than two strands.
Twice, but into three apiece, and there you have the other six.
Kitzeitz, one cut for each. That's the way I said. Okay, back in the Gemara. Right, that's what we said, but Fern was asking, maybe they cut more than into two. Okay, let's see, back in the Gemara. Ravashi Amar, so Ravashi's going to prove again that the gold was into four. Ravashi Amar, Amar Kra, La'asot betocha tchela to betocha argaman, meaning the gold is going to be weaved into the other four elements. So we have tchela v'argaman to la'shani v'sheish. Into each one of those, I'm going to weave gold. So he's going to say, you're not there yet. We're going to say that there's one strand of gold into each one of the other four. So I have four strands of gold. That's the way Rav Ashi's proof is going to go. So Rav Ashi Amar, Amar Kra, la'asot betocha tchela argaman, hechi na'avid. So how would you want to work this with the gold? The other possibility we're thinking is the gold should be cut into six parts. In other words, because everything else was six, so gold should also be six strands. So how would this work? Because I have to divide the gold with the other four elements. Na'avid, ekinavid, na'avid arba, the tray. So if I make four groups, four strands, each strand with, in other words, four threads of gold, each with two strands, this is Havuhu Taman. So then I would end up with eight. I wouldn't end up with six. I'd end up with eight. In other words, if I try, I have the strands of gold, I'm dividing it with the four groups. So if and I have the Petilim. So if I do it, four groups of each, two each, I end up with eight. Navid, tray. Maybe I'll make two threads. Each of those two threads have got two strands in it. That's four. Utray, the Khan. And then two strands, each with one. So if I do it that way, then I end up with six strands like everything else. He says, va'asita, but the Torah says, va'asita, use that verb, that all of its doings should be the same. And we had this yesterday, Bob Zasmer asked me this yesterday. I'm saying he's not here tonight, but I asked Mayor Tversky today about this. He said, like when the Torah says, the whole pasuk was, yesterday, Vasita, I don't know, Al Shuleh HaMe'il, or something like that, Rimonet Chelev Yargaman B'Tulat Shani, that in other words, so each one, Vasita is saying the Asiya for each element should be the same. In other words, what you do to A, you'll do to B, you'll do to C, you'll do to D. Okay. Okay. So that now it's a good time to pause. Any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far?
Everybody, can you repeat Rabbi Ashi's answer? I don't understand Rabbi Ashi.
Okay. Again, we're talking about the Choshen and so four elements, each thread with six strands, four. So I said it's 24, then you have gold that you're adding into it, and the gold is four strands of gold. So Rav Ashi is addressing, how do we know that the gold is four strands? Maybe the gold is six strands, like the Tchelet, the Argaman, Tolat Shani, and the Shesh. Maybe it's six strands. So Rav Ashi says the gold has to be evenly divided with the other four elements. And so I have gold threads. The gold threads have to be evenly divided between Tchelet, Argaman, Tolat Shani, and the Shesh. So how would I evenly divide the gold threads with those four elements? So the way we're going to head is one thread of gold with each is the way we want to go. But let's assume it would be six. So how would I get it? So if I do two for each element, so it ends up being eight threads, right? Because I have four other elements, so that doesn't work. And if I divided the gold into two groups of two each, that would be four, and two groups of one each, that would be six. But then it wouldn't be the same thing. In other words, with Tchelet, let's say I'd have four threads of gold, and then with the Argaman, I'd also have four threads, and then with the Tolat Shani, I'd have one thread, and then with the Shesh, I'd have one thread. So that would add up. it should add up to six, right? 2, 4, 6, right? I said it was 2, 2, 2, and then 1, 1 is what I meant. That should have been 2, 2, 1, 1. So that would add up to six, but that would run afoul of the klal we said that when the asiyah would have to be the same for each. In other words, the way it's done for one element, you have to do the same for the other element. Does that help in any way?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, let's go further. All right, now. Okay, now four lines above where it gets white. So Amarachva, Amarav Yehuda, Amakareya Big Day Kahuna Loke. If a person rips the Big Day Kahuna, he gets Malkot. In other words, he's over on a lav if he rips the Big Day Kahuna. Shenemar Lo Yikareya. This is Lo Yikareya. This is Vasith Al Shulei Amil Saviv. It says you'll make a hem around the Me'il, and it says Lo Yikareya. It shouldn't be torn. So the Gemara takes a Lo Yikareya as an admonition that you should not tear it. So the Gemara says Makid Lo Rabbah Bar Yaakov Dimahaki Kamar Rachmana. Maybe Rav Acha Bar Yaakov is saying maybe what the Torah just means is Navi Le Safa Kechilo Nikra Kilo Nikareya. Maybe he's just saying stitch a hem in the garment so it doesn't rip. Not that there's a lav in ripping the garment, but just saying make the hem so it doesn't rip. So the Gemara responds to that, Dikhtiv Shelo Yikareya. In other words, if it would be the way that you're proposing, it would say Shelo Yikareya. In other words, you make the Safa Shelo Yikareya so it shouldn't rip. But it says Lo Yikareya, that's a lot. Let me get the pasuk out. What is it?
Is that Peshogeg also?
One second. Everybody's laying in here. One second. Okay. Let me get. Okay, please. Kafchet. What pasuk? What?
Lamed bet.
Okay. Let's take a look. Yeah. So the Torah says, "Vasita mi'il eifod klil tchelet." You make the robe of the eifod. The mi'il is one of the big day kuhuna, which we discussed yesterday. It looks like a big talis katan. And at the end of it, it has these rimonim, then it has hamonim and bells at the end of it. So klil tchelet, it says entirely of turquoise wool. And this is vayaki rosho betocho, its head opening, so we fold it over within it. Safa yelafiv saviv maaseo rei, kapitach ra yelolo yikareya. Its opening shall have a border all around a weaver's work. It should be like the opening of a coat of mail. It may not be torn. Anyway, so the Gemara, so if it would be make the hem so it shouldn't rip, it should say yellow shalo yikareya. It should have the hem so it doesn't rip. It says lo yikareya, so the Gemara understands it says a lot about ripping it. Okay. Now let me do further on the first wide line in the Gemara. Now here he changes the Amar to Amar. Amar is like a new topic. Amar Reblazar, Hamaziyah Choshen, the Alha Eifod, if a person removes the Choshen from the Eifod. Again, the Choshen is the breastplate. The Eifod is like this apron that the Kohen Gadol wears, and their one is like attached to the other. So if I remove the Choshen from the Eifod, Bahamasir Badi Aron, or if a person removes the Badimar, like the poles that were used to carry the Aron, he says, Loke. If I do either one of those, I get Malkot. Shene'emar, because the Pasuk says, Lo Yizach, that it shouldn't be removed. That's the Choshen. But Lo Yasuru, that the Badim, the poles, shouldn't leave the Aron. Makiv lo Ravacha bar Yaakov. So Ravacha bar Yaakov, Esekasha, Vidilma ki kamarachmana, Chakinu, Vavdinu Shapir, Kadesh lo Yizach, Lo Yasuru. He says, maybe all the Torah is saying with reference to the Badim, in other words, again, it's getting a similar line of argument that we said before. We were asking, maybe was saying, just do this so it doesn't rip. So he's asking, maybe the Torah is just saying, build it so that they don't come out. In other words, that's like Lo Yasuru Menu, build it so they don't come out. He says, Miktiv, and then the same thing would be with the Choshen. Miktiv Shelo Yizach, like, you know, make it this way so it doesn't come out as the Choshen. The Shelo Yasuru, and also that they don't come out. Now, Rav Simon has in his Sefer, he talks about different mafarshim, explain why is it that the Badim should not come out from the Aron? Why is it that the Torah says the Badim shouldn't leave the Aron? So, the main pshat is that the bottom oftentimes are like referred to the supporters of Torah, and the financial supporters of Torah are the bottom, and they should be like clinging to the Torah, so it should be like a nice union between the supporters of Torah and the people who study Torah. That's a simple
pshat. Issachar Zebulun.
Right, and then there's another pshat that that should be there in case they have to leave in a rush, I think, and should be ready to go. And then I don't remember the other things so clearly, but all right, let's see further in the Gemara.
But what about a shogeg and a mazid situation? Is that really being set up here?
Yeah, no, in Akinami, in other words, once you say it's a lav, so then it follows all the dinim for a lav. In Akinami, you're only chayav b'malkot if you do b'mezid with Adam and Hatra. That would be the regular follow-in. So the Gemara says, this is again the fourth wide line on Beis Amin Aleph, Rav Yossi Rav Chanina Rami, Rav Yossi Rav Chanina posed the contradiction of Pesukim. Ki b'tabot aron yu abadim lo yasur mimenu. It says that the bottom should be in the taba'ot, in the rings of the aron. They shouldn't be removed from it. Now, here, if you look at Rashi, the hebe tada b'adim b'taba'ot, because that's the pasuk that really speaks about the aron. One pasuk seems to say that they're locked into place. It says, like, lo yisurim yana, they should leave it. The other says, you know, you're going to bring the bottom in the taba'ot. It sounds like they're removable. So the Gemara says, Haketzad. So how do I reconcile these two psukim? Mitparkim ve'inishmatim. That they're loose, but they are not easily removed from it. So Rashi, let's look at the Rashi on this 10 lines from the bottom. Mitparkim ve'inishmatim, Rashayim hayu avim, that at the heads, at the ends of the bottom are these poles that are used to carry the Aron. Again, Chazal teaches the Aron no se no sub, so nobody ever actually carried the Aron. The Aron was really lifting them. But in other words, the bottom are like, you know, it looks like you're carrying it. But at the end, they were wider than they were in the middle. So we stick one end in the tabat, like difficulty, you would squeeze it through. But in the middle, they were thinner. So the element parking, so they could move around there. But to remove it is difficult, and that's what way Rashi is explaining it. Let me do a few more lines, then I'll pause. Back in the Gemara, six lines from the bottom. We learn a brisa that supports this. He says that in the tabot, in the rings of the Aron, the bottom should be there. I might think that they're like immovable once they're there. Come Lomar, that we have here, but again, we Rashi would learn is you bring the badim and tabot. So since I might think it's easily removable in and out. Come Lomar, but tabot or you badim. But they're loose, but they're not easily removable. And that's the way the Gemara takes it. Okay? Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? All right. Let's take a look. Now, all right, let me do a little piece with this, and then we'll see how we go. Now, we mentioned about the law of being Bikareya, ripping the Big Day Kahuna. So Rabbi Huda says that one who tears one of the Big Day Kahuna is subject to the penalty of Malko, violating the Isur, say with regard to the Kohen Gadol's Me'il, lo yikareya, meaning that it's not just the Me'il, but there's a law against ripping any of the Big Day Kahuna. The Rambam, in codifying this halakha, writes that one who tears the border of the Me'il is subject to Malko, for the Torah says lo yikareya, and if one tears one of the other Big Day Kahuna, derech hashchata, in a destructive manner, he's subject to Malko. The Korban Chagiga notes the distinction between the Me'il and the other Big Day Kahuna. With regard to the other Big Day Kahuna, the Rambam stresses one incurs Malkot only if he tears them derech hashkata, in a destructive manner. It is permitted, for example, to tear them for the purpose of mending and tailoring, like we had by Hilchot Shabbat, right? Korea and outlet four. Remember in the Lamed Tet Malachot that you're Korea, but with intent to be Tofer. However, with regard to the Me'il, the Rambam does not stipulate derech hashkata, thus implying that the halacha regarding the Me'il is more stringent, since the Pasuk Yikareya is stated there, and may not be torn for any purpose, even if constructive. The Mishnah Lamelech disagrees and maintains there are no grounds to distinguish between the various Big Day Kahuna, since the prohibition against tearing them is based on the same Pasuk. When the Rambam mentions the condition of derech hashkata, he means to apply to the Me'il as well. All right, now he's got more here on the staining and things like this, but I think I'm going to move on. Okay, let's take a look. All right, we're back in the Gemara. We're around four lines from the bottom. And again, this is a famous Gemara about Atzei Shitim Omdim. So, Amar Rabbi Chama Rabbi Chanina, by the Tiv Atzei Shitim Omdim. What does the pasuk mean? Atzei Shitim, Atzei Shitim, Shitim wood. I think they usually translate it. Sometimes they say Shitim wood. I think they say Acacia wood sometimes. But he says here, Omdim, Omdim. So, She Omdim Derek Vivatan. So, the first drash the Gemara has is the wood. In other words, let's say you're building Krashim. You have the beams in the Mishkan. So on the tree, one end of the beam was like the higher part of the tree, and one end of the wood was closer to the trunk. So the way it should be erected in the Mishkan is in the same fashion that it grew, like the head towards the head and the tail towards the tail. And we have that again by the Arba Minim, by the four Minim that we take on Sukkot. So we hold them all Derek Dilatan. You know, you hold the Esrog, like with the Pitam up, is Derek Dilatan, and then many people like flip over the Esrog before they have it, you know, down, facing down, and they make the bracha and face it up. And Lulav also, and the Arabot and Hadassim is the same way. Okay, there was a blurb in the article on that. Now, let's see further the Gemara. Gavarachair, Omdim, Shemamidim et Sipyan. Or another pshat, Omdim, Shemamidim et Sipyan, meaning they hold that they were covered with gold. So, they're able to hold the gold. So let's look at Rashi on this. Five lines to the bottom. Shemamidim et sipuyan, sipuyas amamidim et demasferot. In other words, the gold would be like plates, would be nailed into the beams. So they were able to support the gold. Or different shot Rashi has is that the wood didn't rot and decay with years and it was able to continually support the gold. Okay, that's second shot. Third shot, the Baracher, Omdim, Shema Tomar Abad Sibran Batel Sukiyan. Maybe you'll say, like they've lost like their hope, their promise and their hope of the Atzei Shitim of the Mishkan. In other words, the Mishkan was put into Geniza, and now like we'll never see it again, like that type of thing. So he says, Tamalomar Omdim, Omdim Liolam Ula Olamim. Let's take a look at Rashi. Shema Tomar, three lines to the bottom. Yishenigmazu Avad Sivran Shlo Yishuvot. We're never going to be back again. So we're eagerly looking to see them again or have them again. I don't know where they would fit in if we see them again, but the point is that they will still be hung. They're still around. Okay. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything so far? All right. Let's keep moving. I mean, sure, I'm not missing anybody here. Okay, we're good. All right, let's see further. Now we're on the bottom line on Ayin Beis Menal, 72A, the bottom line. Now on the side he says, Bi'amar, Bi'amar Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina, Ma'idati B'Bigdei Hasrad, the Sreif HaKodesh. So what does the B'Bigdei Hasrad, so Rashi says here, Shrad L'Shon Tzavid, in other words, that like a remnant, that which remains. So this is going to be the Drasha. But the Pshuto Shel Mikra, at least the way Rashi, the way the article reported that Rashi says in the Kodesh, the Gedei Hasrad refers to the garments you're going to cover the kelim with like a meshwork, is the way Rashi learns there. So at the Gedei Hasrad, the Shreva Kodesh, turn page on the top line on Bezim Beis, Imalei Begdei Kahuna, Lonishtayim Yisonim Shal Yisrael Sarid Upalit, that were not for the Begdei Kahuna, nothing would be left. Now, Sonim Shal Yisrael means the enemy is the Jews, it really means the Jewish people, because we don't want to say, you know, anything bad happening to the Jewish people, that what for the Big Day Kahuna, there wouldn't have been any Jews left around in the world. And let's take a look at the top line in Rashi. In Malay Big Day Kahuna, Shal Yidein Makrivin Korbanot, HaMakaprim Al Yisrael, that through the Big Day Kahuna, we're able to bring Korbanot, to bring us Kapara. So, but for that, we'd be in Gahak Tzoris. Now, another pshat that I saw that the Arts will mention was that that each of the Big Day Kahuna, by wearing it, it brings a type of kapara. But the point is, so Big Day Sarad is, so it means like a remnant of Israel. So Big Day Sarad, so the Begadim that, you know, make and ensure that there's some of the Jewish people left around in the world. Now, on the second line on Ayin Beis and Beis, Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmani Amar, Debei Reb Shimon Tana. So Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmani said, that in the base medrash, Reb Shimon, the following brayso was taught. The garments that to claim, they He says, and but then Rashi says on the first line, "Umishayrim mehem mitzad she'ena warugim mehem b'zelushon srad." So this is big day srad. So we cut it off from the loom, and you could wear it, but there's a little bit that we do leave. In other words, it's wearable the way we cut it off, but there's a little bit that we leave, you know, that's cut off. So he says, so the Gemara says, "Mahi, what's the part that's cut off?" Reish Lakish amar elu maaseh machat. Reish Lakish says it refers to maaseh machat that. That there was one section of the begadim that would be sewn on afterwards. The Gemara is going to explain shortly. So Meifei, the Gemara asks Akasha, Big Day Kahuna in Osen Otan Maase Machad or the Maase Orei. The Big Day Kahuna, there's no sewing involved with them. It's everything is woven. Shinemar Maase Orei. Amar Abaye Lo Nitzracha El Lebeit Yad Shalahem. So Abaye says, when it refers to leaving something over and something's sewed on, so it's referring to the sleeves. To the Tanya, like we learned in the Braitha, Beit Yad Shel Big Day Kahuna, the sleeve of the Big Day Kahuna, a regular thing was woven by itself, and it beckoned in my beged, and then it was sewn on to the garment, Umagad Ad Pisariyad, and would reach to the palm of the Kohen. And again, each one of the begadim have to be tailor-made for that Kohen. So, but the point being, it says Big Day Srad, this is right, there's a little bit left over from it. So the begadim in general, they're ready to wear once they come off the loom. But there's a little bit that's left out, and that's the sleeves, and those are sewn on, and that's Big Day Srad. Okay, any questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far? Okay, I'm moving on. Okay, so we're 10 lines from the top, and then Leonetter, tomorrow night, we'll start the last parak in Masechet Yoma, which deals with, you know, the dinim of Yom Kippur. All right. So, all right, Amar Rachba, Amar Rabbi Yehuda. So Rachba says the name of Rabbi Yehuda, Shalosh Aronot Asa Betzalel. Betzalel, when he was constructing the Aron, the Ark, he built three boxes. And here we have this picture book, which I brought with me, which I'm grateful to Odei Weiss for giving this to me, but it'll hopefully benefit everybody. I'll hold it up to the screen here, but you can see there's like, I don't know how well you can see, but there's three boxes. So the one box is the smallest, the next box is a little larger, and the one larger than that. One box fits in the other box, fits in the other box. What do they call it in Russia where they have those dolls, where one doll, what is that called again, where the one fits in the other, what is that called?
The nesting dolls.
No. There's something that, Russian. Yeah, I can't remember it. Okay, but you get the idea. Let's see back in the Gemara. So it says, so the middle box was made out of wood. It says Tisha. Now it was 9 tfachim in height. So again, the Torah says, Amatayim b'chetzi orko, v'amah b'chetzi rachbo, v'amah b'chetzi komato. So the height is Amma b'chetzi, 1.5 Amma. So the Amma is 6 tfachim, so 1.5 is 9 tfachim. So it's referring to the middle box. That's the 9 tfachim. Panimi shalzahav. The inner box was shmona, was 8 tfachim. So again, the wooden box had a 1 tefach floor in it. So the box that fits in it, and you have to, you know, they don't want it to stick out on top. So that one was only going to be 8 tfachim in height. In other words, so the middle one is 9 tfachim in height, and that's got a 1 tefach floor. So the middle one is 8 tfachim in height, so it'll fit in. Chitzon, the outer box, that was gold. Chitzon, and then here the box says, Chitzon Shalzahav, the outer box has been gold. Asara u'mashuhu. That was 10 tfachim and a mashuhu. So the mashuhu here is talking about the floor of the aron. So I have a thin layer of gold on the bottom, and then 10 tfachim coming up on the outside. Okay. Now, the idea being that all three boxes will be able to fit, you know, come up to the same end of the rim, and then that'll be covered over with gold, and then the kaporet, the lid, will go on top of it. So the Gemara says, Vatanya achadasar mashu. But in the Braisa, we learn that the outer box was not 10 in a mashahu, but was 11 in a mashahu. So he says, Lo kasha, hakaman damar yesh ba'ob yo tefach. So that last statement is according to the opinion that the gold had a tefach floor to it. So if it had a tefach floor, so there's an additional tefach that's taken up. Hakaman damar ein ba'ob yo tefach. But the first opinion that said, tenet of fraction that is not a tefach floor. It's a little bit of a floor. Now, umay mashahu zer. Now, with the opinion that says that it was 11 and a mashahu, so one tefach is the floor. Then 10 tefachim is the height that I got. So, but he says 11 and a mashahu, 11 and a little bit more. Now, the mashahu, with the earlier opinion, Rabbi Yehuda, that was for the floor. But the 11 and the mashahu, I already have the floor covered. So what's the 11 and the mashahu? So the mashahu is the zer. The zer is this like a crown that goes around the aron. And fortunately, we have a picture here. Let me pull the picture. Let me get a picture, but let me see the nice picture with this. Well, it's got a couple of pictures in which to choose. Let's see, but I think this one will... All right, anyway, if you look at the top picture here, I don't know if you can see it, but there's a little bit of a filigree on top of the aron. Anybody can look here, here, and here as well. Anyway, so this is there. There's a crown on it. Let's see back in the Gemara. He says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan.
What was the function of the boxes in the first?
We're going to find out in 1 minute. Just be patient. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shosha Zeirim Hain. There are three kalim that have like a crown on them in the Mishkan. Shel Mizbeach means the inner Mizbeach, the Mizbeach HaZahav that is there. Please, everybody mute themselves. Ruth, I don't think you're muted. Shel Aron, the Aron has his air. Shel Shulchan, the Shulchan also has his air. Shel Mizbeach, Zacha Aron, Unitalo. Now, the Mizbeach represents the Avoda. You know, I don't know, in the art school, I thought they said, it's talking about the Mizbeach Panimi, but the Mizbeach represents the Avoda in the base of Mikdash. So Aron was Zocha for that. Shel Shulchan, Zacha David, Unitalo. Shulchan, that represents, you know, prosperity, wealth. David HaMelech is like the Malchus, so that David HaMelech was okay with. Shel Aron Adayin Munachu. The Aron is still up for grabs, so to speak. He says, it means the Aron represents Torah learning. Pull a rotz likach yivo bikach. Whoever wants to grab the crown of Torah, so the opportunity is waiting for you. It's hanging, it's right there. Just grab it. So he says, Shema Tamar Pachogu. Maybe to say that crown is not worth as much as the other crowns. Tamar Lomar. So now the Gemara quotes the Pasuk from Mishlei, the book of Proverbs, the Torah is speaking. Through me do kings rule. So Torah, in other words, they rule through Torah. So Torah is what gives them the Malchus. So Torah is greater than Malchus. And we know that Malchus is greater than Kahuna. And so how do we know that? Let's take a look. One second. One second, he had a few proofs that Torah is so Malchus created Kahuna because the king, right? The king, one second. Yeah, he says in footnote 22, he says the king takes precedence over a Kohen Gadol. Alternatively, the authority of Torah over the priesthood can be inferred from the pasuk, "Yikarahim yipninim." It's more precious than pearls. You know, from the allusion to the pearls on the sits of the Kohen Gadol. I don't know about pearls on the sits. I don't know if the sits got pearls on it. But "Yikarahim yipninim," Chazal usually say "Yikarahim yipninim" from a Kohen Gadol. Then the Kohen Gadol goes in. I thought you could say simple pshat in Pirkei Avot, like in the sixth parak. It mentions Gedola Torah Yoter Mina Kura Malchut. The Torah is acquired with 48 midot, and the Malchut with 30 midot, and the Kuna is acquired with 24 midot. But anyway, you get the idea. Now let's see further. Now we're coming further. Okay. Now Rabbi Yochanan Rami. Rabbi Yochanan poses difficulty in the pasuk. Ktiv zar or zer, between and zer. In other words, in the Chumash, the word is spelled Zion Reish, which means the crown. But you could read it zar, but we pronounce it zer, as if it had a yud there. Zacha na seit lo zer. If a person is zoka, meaning he studies Torah altruistically, so he's zoka, the Torah becomes a crown for him. Lo zacha zarahimenu. But if he's not zoka, it's zarahimenu. What does Rashi say in Zarahimenu? He says it's mishtakachat menu. He doesn't remember it. So it's like it becomes alien to him. All right. Rabbi Yochanan Rami, Rabbi Yochanan poses a contradiction of Sukkim. Tivi asita lach Aron eitz. One pasuk says, you Moshe Rabbeinu should make me Aron. Uchtivi asu Aron tishtim. Another pasuk says, you Klal Yisrael should make me Aron. Now, the truth is that both of these Sukkim, the Marsha points out, pointing about different Aronot. There was one Aron that they made for Milchama, and that's what it says, you should make me Aron. And the other thing about the Aron's Mishkan, but like the way the Gemara is darshening it, is it would be the same thing. But if Tamad Chacham, to the people in the town, they should do some. They should do his malacha. They should support him. In other words, that it's as if Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to make the Aaron, then everybody pitched in to help make the Aaron. In other words, so Moshe Rabbeinu represents Tamad Chacham, so you should help Tamad Chacham out. All right, now. Let me just do two more lines. I think this will answer your question, Ruth. So in the Torah, it says you should build an Aron, and it should have gold on the inside and gold on the outside. So we saw before there were three boxes. The middle was wood, and the two outer ones were gold. So it's gold, wood, gold. So he says, I'm a rabba for Tamad Chacham, Shein Tocho Kabaro, that any Tamad Chacham whose inside is not like the outside, meaning he's got to be sincere. He says, "Ain't no Tamad Chacham. He's not a Tamad Chacham." So, if on the outside, like he's, you know, shows himself to be, you know, one way, and on the inside he's totally different, he's not a Tamad Chacham. And that's what the gold, we buy them mechitzapenu. It's got to be gold on the inside and gold on the outside. All right. Does that help you with your question, Ruth? Ruth, I can't hear a word you're saying.
I can't imagine why. Yes, it does. Thank you. I just wanted to hold up this book, which I came across.
Hold it up to the screen. Hold it up to the screen. Let me see. Okay. So what about it?
This, it's in black and white, but it's very detailed, and it's got every aspect of the Beis Mikdash. Every.
All right. Let's show us one. Show us your best picture.
The best?
All right. Show any picture.
There's so much in this.
Pick one picture. Show it up. Not waiting so much longer. Okay. This
covers a lot more, even with the history as well.
It's, all right, what's the name of the author?
Label Resnick is the rabbi who put it together.
Resnick?
Yeah, Label, right.
Resnick. Yeah, and who's the publisher?
One second, I'll tell you. It's really worthwhile. One second. It's Jason Aronson in London and in New Jersey.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Okay. Let's see if we're back on the Gemara. Okay. Now, we're on 10 lines above work. It's wide on 9 days in the base. So, Amar Abaye or Abaye, Vitim and Rababar Ula, Nikra Nitav. If Ein Toko Kabaro, he's called like repulsive or an abomination. Shinemar. Af kinita vanilla, he showed to Kamayim Avlo. Like he's nita vanilla, he's detestable, the man who drinks water like with iniquity. So drinking the water, they're assuming is like Torah. Water is Torah. So he's drinking the Torah, but he's got a beirot, and it's like this person who's not Toko Kabaro. All right, now I'm Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani, I'm Yonatan. My detiv, this Pasuk consists of Mishlei in the Book of Proverbs, Lamaza Mechir Biad Kseel at Not Chachmam. Glave Ayin says, like, why is it like the fool has got money or to acquire chachma, but he doesn't have like the heart, he doesn't have like the good heart. So oil ha'am the sonayim shal tamidei chachamim. Woe to the enemies of the tamidei chachamim. It really means the tamidei chachamim she'oskin b'torah, that are toiling in Torah. The Abraham yirat shemayim. They don't have yirat shemayim. So it means the person's got, in other words, he's got the ability to acquire the Torah. But Lev Ayin, he doesn't have the right heart, he doesn't have the right attitudes, he doesn't have Yirat Shemayim, so he's terrible. Makri's Rabbi Yanai would announce, Kavala the lately Darta, woe to the person who doesn't have a Chatzer, Vitar the Darta Abid, but he makes a gate for the Chatzer. So the way the Gemara is taking it, the gate is you have the Torah learning, but the Chatzer is Yirat Shemayim. So the Torah learning is just you should come to Yirat Shemayim. But if you have the Torah learning, you know Yirat Shemayim, it doesn't make sense. You're building a gate to go nowhere. So it doesn't work out well. In other words, it goes with the idea. In other words, like a person, when they learn Torah, Torah is not like other disciplines. You have to learn Torah to absorb what's lishmor b'laso. You know, to what has to be with that attitude. You know, they used to have. I remember one of my rabbeim, Reb Braunschweig, was speaking about. They used to have Jews who came from Europe, and they would enjoy studying Torah, and sometimes they would like smoke on Shabbos while they're studying Gemara. Today we don't have a tipus like this. Anybody, you know, like if the person smokes, he doesn't have enough learning to study the Gemara. But they would like, you know, like to learn, but the smoking, you know what I mean? So all right, let's take a look back at the Gemara. So I'm a little Rabbi the Rabbanan. So Rabbi said to Chachamim, Matut Minaihu, he says, please, Lo Tirtin Tarti Gehenim, don't inherit two Gehenims. So the Rashi explains that on the first narrow line upstairs, left hand column, like the toil and toil in this world, below Tamu, but you don't fulfill it. He says, but Tirshu Gehenna below Tem, Payechamon and Nakin Bolam Chem. So you get the worst of all possible worlds. Like you're doing all the work to acquire the Torah, but you're not living a high life in this world, and then you're not going to get the Olam Haba either. In other words, so it's like a package deal. Okay, three lines above where it gets medium wide. Amr Shubin Levi, Maitati, Zoda Trash, Shasam of Chem. This is the Torah. And why doesn't it say Zod HaTorah Shali made Moshe? Why is it Zod HaTorah Shasam Moshe? And this obviously is the pasuk that we say whenever we do Hagba. So what is it? What's that Shasam Moshe? Zaka, Nasetlo Sam Chaim. So Sam is that he placed, but Sam could be like a potion. If a person is Zoka, the Torah is a potion of life. He says, Lo Zaka Nala Sam Mita. If not Zoka, it's a potion of death. So we'll see in a minute. But I don't, now, What's Sam Chaim? What's Sam Mota? So Right. So if he's learning it for his own sake, that's the way he's learning that Sam Chaim. He says, or a person who labors sufficiently to understand it. Right. So either way you say that he's learning for altruistic motivations, that's Sam Chaim, or he's learning and he understands the halachot, that's Sam Chaim. But if he's learning and it's for negative motivations, then that's Sam Mita. Now, I saw, and I think in the Mishnah Gemara, they said, but doesn't the Gemara say, you know, that Le'olam Yilmod Adam, that you should always start off not sincerely, but there's a type of learning, if a person learns because he just wants to torment people, you know, like he wants to show, his whole purpose in learning is to show the rabbi doesn't know anything, or his whole purpose in learning is to give service to somebody. So then that's very bad. And that's the samita. Or it can mean if the person learns and he never does anything thoroughly, he never gets anything straight. So let's see back in the Gemara. He says, let me repeat, three lines above. I'm a Shuvan lady. My dechiv zohar samoshe zachana sedo sam chayim lo zachana sedo samita. Ma'ayinu gama rava du'umana samadachayi. If a person like is, he treats it like a trade. In other words, how does he say here? He says he uses it with skillfully. If he uses the Torah skillfully, then it's the potion of life. Zlomanla, he doesn't use it skillfully, it's samadamota, a potion of death. All right. The second medium wide line, Amrishu Barachmani, Rabbi Yonatan Rami. Barachmani said, Rabbi Yonatan posed the contradiction of Pesukim. Tiv Pikudei Hashem Yisharim Misam Kalev, that the precepts of God are upright, they make one happy. That's the Pasuk in Tehillim. And we say that every Shabbos morning in Lamanasech, Hashemayim Sapin Kurtel. He says, Uchtiv, but another Pasuk says, in the previous parak, Imrat Hashem Tzrufa. The word of God is Tzrufa. Now, Tzrufa means to smell, but the Gemara here is taking it like you're getting like heated up in a fire. So, Zaha Mithamato. A person is Zocha, you could say the same way as before. Either you learn it thoroughly or you learn it for the right reason. So, the Torah gives you happiness. Lo Zaha Tzrufa. If you're not Zocha, so you end up getting burnt. Reish Lakish Amar Miguvit Pranavka. Reish Lakish says, we just look at the second Pasuk and deduce this on our own. He says, Zacha Tzorav Tov L'Chaim. In other words, the Torah always is like sort of maybe burning you, but if it's Tzorav Tov L'Chaim, meaning that you can go through difficulties in life, But ultimately, it'll be like Yisurim Shalahava. In other words, because Hashem wants to bring you Zuchus to study Torah. Lo Zacha, if you're not Zocha, Sorf Tolamita. So then the burning is like to get you to Gehenna with Yisurim and things like that. All right, the second very wide line. Yirat Hashem Torah Omed Elad, that fear of God is pure and it's everlasting. Amr B'chanina, Zahalome Torah B'tara. This first person who studies Torah in a state of Tahara, what does that mean? Mahi? That a person marries at a young age and then he studies Torah. So when you marry, so Gemara, what does Rashi bring down on that? No seisha, the sixth narrow line. He told me here avera. And if a person marries, so he's not going to have, you know, lewd and lascivious thoughts. He's got his wife, and then he has relations, and then he's cool. Otherwise, you know, he's thinking here harim. So the person will study Torah in a state of Tahara. That's a good thing. Okay, now on the third wide line. Eidut Hashem Ne'emana, that the testimony of God is faithful. Amrim Chia Baraba Ne'emana Hilai Shalom Deha, that is faithful to give testimony concerning those who learned it. So if you study the Torah will come and bear testimony to you that you studied it. Okay, now we're back to our regular topic. Ma'aseh Rokeim means like something which was weaved. Ma'aseh Choshev means artisan's work. Amr Blazar Shirokmin the Makom Shakoshmin. So it says Maase Rokeim Maase Choshev. Blazar says they would weave in the place that they would draw the design. So they'd have a piece of fabric and then they just draw designs on the fabric and then weave according to the design. Tana Mishmeid Rebbe Nechemia, a Bryce was taught in the name of Rebbe Nechemia, Rokeim Maase Macha. Rokeim refers to needlework. Fichach Partsof Echad. So, in other words, with the needlework, I'll sew in a design, and the design will be visible on both sides, let's say the parochet, or whatever the object is. Choshev ma'aseore. Choshev refers to something which is woven. So you have a design, one design on one side and one design on the other. That's the way I have with that. Okay. Any questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did today so far? All right, let me just do a little story, and then that will be it for today. One minute. What? We stopped four lines from the bottom. Okay, that's two dots. Okay, all right. Let's take a look. All right, I'll read two things here. We have some halakha, we have a story, and then it'll be it. Okay. So, and it's nice having everybody tonight. I'm so sorry about the difficulty last night, but I'm glad you're all here with us tonight. Okay, so based on our Gemara, the Rambam writes, the Torah is available to anyone who wants to come and take it. You know, today especially with the internet and with Zoom. You know, you sit in your home and you get all this Torah. You know, I there was this the case they told in the Commentator, which is the YU newspaper. There was this fellow, he was a non-Jew in Europe, and he wanted to study Torah. And he started listening to the shiurim from Rav Rosenzweig, who's one of the upper shiurim at YU. He kept listening to those shiurim. And he, I don't know, he got very educated with it. And I gave a drasha once. I said, if this non-Jew can listen to all these shiurim, you can certainly, you know, do it. Anyway, so he says here, the Maharsh Dam uses concept as foundation as ruling regarding the inheritance of rabbinical positions. He writes that although the Rashba ruled that public office is bequeathed to the holder's children, nonetheless, rabbinical positions are not. Torah is available for everyone and is not passed on as inheritance.
Could you slow down? Can you slow down a bit?
Okay. He's saying,
please.
Okay. So the Maharsh Dam is saying, according to the Maharsh Dam, that if you have a rabbinical position, it's not a Yerusha. You can't give it over to your children. I must tell you that sometimes it is given over. So he says here, the Avi Nezer explains the reason. The king or Kohen can pass his position to his son, but a rabbi may not. In order to fill the position of king or Kohen, one only has to possess a degree of fear of sin similar to the father, and that is sufficient. Torah positions, on the other hand, require the position holder to be an outstanding scholar, and the merit to excel in Torah scholarship is not reserved for children of Rabbanim. Therefore, the son of the previous rabbi should not fill an open rabbinical position automatically. Rather, the greatest scholar should be chosen. Many other poskim disagree with this ruling. They maintain, based on a midrash, that even rabbinical positions are passed on as an inheritance. I'll mention to you that the Chasam Sofer was a rabbi in Pressburg And he, that position passed on to his children up until World War II. So that's like 150 years remain in the same family, which is quite a shalshelet. The Avnei Nezer cites an interesting historical proof that positions are bequeathed as an inheritance. The rabbi in Tzfas, the Chacham Avram, passed away, and Rav Moshe Alshech, who was 60 at the time, was appointed as a new rabbi in town. Rav Shlomo Alkabetz, however, prevented him from serving because Chacham Avram left behind a young son who, although he was less than 13 years old at the time, would be able to fill his father's position. Because of Rav Alkabetz's protest. Now, he's talking about the Alshech is famous. He wrote a famous Perush on the Chumash, and and Rav Shlomo Alkabetz is the author of everybody, the Chad Odi, right. So he says here, they waited for the child to reach Bar Mitzvah age and appointed him as the official rabbi of Tzfas. Okay, let me just do story and then it will be it. Okay.
What were you saying before about the smoking and the learning?
The smoking?
And the learning, yeah.
They were smoking on Shabbat. They were smoking on Shabbat.
I was saying that one of my rabbi, Rav Braunschweiler, said they used to have people who would smoke like on Shabbos and study Gemara while they were learning. So I was saying that's not.
So they weren't Shomer Shabbos people.
To say the least, right? It was, you have to learn, and it has to be internalized.
Oh, okay.
All right, let's take a look. Now, a delegation once came from a certain city to consult with the Chafetz Chaim about a pressing communal matter. Oh, this is the Shulch Melchamas. Let me leave it. Okay, I think that's it for today. Nice seeing everybody. Let me end the recording and then I'll say goodbye. Okay, one second.